small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and today I'm just, I'm not by myself, but I'm solo as far as producers are concerned. Kyle is at work, that jerk. He's making money. How dare he? How dare he make money? But I am here with two fine people. I'm here with Kaylin West of Tiny Stills.
Hey, you guys.
And Tony Thaxton of Tiny Stills.
There you
I
go.
Guess, sure, kind of, right?
I'll allow it.
Right?
Yeah, it's the current, I was going to say current roster. That's not the right word at all.
Lineup?
Yeah, sure, I guess.
How many people are in this band, Kaylin?
Four. Yeah.
Got you on guitar.
Yep.
And a drummer.
Drummers, Tony.
How come you just don't stop right there? We go White Stripes style.
I know, right?
Add that bass.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy when bands don't have a bass player.
It is weird, isn't it?
It drives me crazy.
So you have a bass player. Who's your bass player?
Harry Foster.
Harry Foster. And then you have another guitarist.
Yep. And our guitarist is Zach Comtois.
Is he the lead guitarist and you're the rhythm guitarist, or are you the lead guitarist?
Well, he is the lead guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Really a lot of leads going on, though. So
no,
much.
There are leads. There's a few.
How yeah. dare you?
But, I mean, I feel like when people say lead guitarist, they think of just like solos all the time and stuff.
You're the lead drummer.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah. The drummer gets the lead all the time.
True.
Goddamn right.
Now, Tony, you said you don't like when a band doesn't have a bass player. How do you feel if a band has two drummers?
I also hate it.
That's
I'm not
horrible.
Sure. I might hate that more.
Because that means that one guy's not good at his instrument, right? You don't need two drummers.
I'm always baffled by that move.
I know, me
like,
too.
I think we once had an argument about this because she was saying that it can sometimes be done, but I've never.
Jeez, I don't want to start an argument between you two. That's the last thing I want to do.
Not today.
Well, this is a big week for you, Kaylin, because yeah. your new album drops tomorrow.
Yeah,
Laughing Into the Void.
It does, tomorrow.
This is the sophomore effort.
Correct.
Not a sophomore slump, though, I can tell you.
Not a slump.
It's
not even for slump.
It is not a... I'm telling you, it's not a sophomore slump.
Thank you.
If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't say anything. I'd just be like, hey, so you got this record out. That's... Hey, good for you.
Good for you.
But no, you hit it out of the park.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
I really do. And when I was queuing songs up today, normally I look for like a cool place to cue the song.
Sure.
But all these songs start cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't really...
Thank you.
When we play clips from them, we're just going to play them from the beginning because
sure.
they really have...
AKA Pat got tired and just didn't feel like...
No, because I cue all these other schlubs on the list. I cued their music up.
Amazing.
We have a kind of a soft topic today. I picked all the songs. I started to think about this this festival from the 90s. I think it was in 97 and 99 or through 99. They did it for 3 years called Lilith Fair. And again, I can't say.
Only 3 years?
Yeah, 97, 98, 99.
Crazy.
And then I think they did it again in 2010.
Wow, I did not know it was that few of them.
I know, but it was founded by musician Sarah McLachlan. Mm-hmm. I have trouble saying Lilith Fair because I'm from Pennsylvania. And Kaylin, you're from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
But you don't have an L thing. I don't know why
do
I do.
That. I
know
either.
It's really hard for me. Like
you
I can
one
say
of your name, so.
I can say lollipop, but like little of.
How's Lollapalooza treat you?
Lollapalooza. So it's okay with the L O, but with an L I or something other vowel, terrible.
Oh no.
But I started to think about this festival because, you know, with the Me Too movement and all mm-hmm. these things happening now, I can't believe they haven't tried to reboot this thing because there's so many mm-hmm. female artists have come along. Since 1999, and I really think they could get another. Not that the lineup wasn't amazing then, but I think it would be great. So I have picked songs today from artists that I feel would be great if they rebooted Lilith Fair.
Cool.
And
yeah.
Of course, Tiny Stills would be
headlining.
Would be headlining.
I'll finish your sentence.
Thank you. That's great. I like it.
I knew where you were going with it. So.
So we'll be playing. We'll be playing songs from Kaylin's new album, and then we'll be playing songs from other artists that aren't as good. And I'm just calling it Lilith Fair. What if? But before we start, I want to. We have to play our little advertisement for the Shure microphones. So we are using the Shure SM7B microphones. It's the same microphone that Michael Jackson used to record Thriller.
Oh, yeah?
No, not this actual one, but the same.
Oh, well, now I'm disappointed.
I know. So let's get, let's hear a little bit. Now this is a minute and a half, so bear with me.
The company behind... Take two.
Take two it?
Take two.
Take two it? Go ahead.
This episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by Shure, the company behind some of the world's most iconic microphones, earphones, and audio products, including the legendary SM7B mic, B-Mic,
Siegel,
that we use to record Rock Solid.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. Sure.
The SM7B offers perfect response for music and speech in all professional audio applications.
All professional audio applications.
Used to record Michael Jackson's Thriller album, engineers and artists continue to choose the SM7B for warm and rich vocals. And it also shines on just about anything you put through
it. Guitar,
bass, kick drum, horns, even as a hi-hat mic.
Does it flow together?
Gorgeous.
I know, the legendary SM7B microphone.
SM7B microphone.
Would you like to hear more about it?
All right.
For 93 years, Shure has been the go-to company for roadworthy, superior sound.
Rock Solid Sound.
Every member of the Rock Solid Podcast is proud to use the SM7B microphone because we care about bringing our listeners the best sound possible.
Sure.
Best sound possible.
Sure.
You can edit that into something. There's a couple of takes.
All right. So that's what you got to do when you want free stuff. So okay. I always have to give credit to Kevin Quinn. One of our listeners took our bland read and he took it and he put all those effects and stuff.
He did the music as
well? He did all the stuff and sent it back to me and said, hey, if you want to use this, I'm like, certainly I'm going to use that.
That's pretty great.
It sounded great.
Yeah, I'll use that. Well, that's because of the microphone.
Yeah. It wasn't Kevin. Come on, Kevin.
It wasn't Kevin. Please. It was Mike Siegel and then the microphone. And Kevin did his little whatever
little,
he does.
Little he do.
But much appreciated, Kevin Quinn. Okay, so Tiny Stills, Laughing Into the Void.
Mm.
You had a Kickstarter for this thing?
Yeah.
How much did you raise?
A little over 19,000.
And every single penny is in the grooves.
100%. Every single penny is in the grooves. Yeah.
The you also brought three vinyl copies that you're going to sign and we're going to give them away.
Yeah.
Is that colored vinyl? I peeked in there. I thought I maybe saw something
it
on colored vinyl.
It is colored vinyl.
What color is that?
It's a light like baby blue. Yeah.
Does music sound better on baby blue vinyl?
100%. 100% it does.
And people can, tomorrow is when the album comes out, June 1st.
Yes.
In theory is what you told me. In theory.
Oh
that's
yeah. It's
out.
All queued up on the internet to do its thing. You know.
So like at midnight tonight,
mm-hmm.
I go to iTunes. This thing's going to be there.
In theory, that should be correct. I mean, I say in theory because, you know, the internet, but yeah, it should be.
Are you going to be at your computer like at 10 after midnight just to see if it's there?
You know, I hope it's there. Yeah, I'm going to check. I'm going to be checking all day because
I would check.
Be there. I know. But yeah, it should be.
So buy it. If you like what you hear, buy it. I got to be honest with you. Even if you don't like what you hear, fucking buy it. Okay. That's
just
what I'm saying. Support.
You got to pay the drummer. You know?
Yeah. Support. Okay, yeah. Support your independent artists.
There you go.
Because this is a DIY.
Yeah.
Let's do it yourself, kids. And it looks it looks fantastic.
Thank you.
It's so funny. Like I want to say, it looks like a real album, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It looks great. You got a lyric sheet in there.
Yeah.
You got the baby blue vinyl, and it's fantastic. I love the cover art. Who did the cover?
Our friend Dave Clock did the cover art.
Who's the best? He used to do all the posters for the Meltdown show.
And he's from the band the Dave Clock Five.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I right? No, he would do the posters for the Meltdown shows?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of his work, too. So I was so excited when he was into doing it. And what's so cool about the art is it's really made to be on a record.
Mm-hmm,
it is. You know, the whole record is like designed to be a record. The back tells a story, the front tells a story, and that's what you don't get with the digital, which is kind of a
so
bummer.
Tiny.
Yeah, because it's so tiny, and even the thumbnails, you can't really appreciate it, but we designed it to be a record, and I love the artwork on it. He did a good job.
He did a good job, and so when you're sitting there and listening to this, you have something to look at.
Yeah.
Just like the olden days when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s and you two were just born. probably not too far off.
Not with me.
How old are you? You want to give your age?
You want to guess how old I am?
Yeah, this is a fun game.
35?
Keep going.
Hmm. 80? No. 39?
Yep. 39. On the head. I'll be 40 this year.
All right. Well, see, I'm 15 years older than you. So, yeah, when I was a teenager, when I was 15, you were just born.
There you go.
And you, I don't even want to know.
No, yeah.
you two are, can we say that you're married?
Yeah.
You just did.
Some people don't, I can edit it out.
No.
And then it'll go, can I say that you two are, okay, and the next song is, that's where the edit would sound like, because I don't smooth it out. You guys are newlyweds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We are married.
It's already been 9 months, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
We could have a baby now.
You could have a baby
from,
now.
You know,
well, you do have a baby. It's going to be, it's going to come out tomorrow.
It comes out tomorrow.
And it's called Laughing Into the Void. It's your digital baby.
It's my digital baby.
But you guys cohabitated before you were married.
Yeah.
Now, did it feel different after you were actually married, though? Because I lived with my wife, and then we were married. Uh-huh. And it does feel a little bit, different.
What do you think?
I don't know that it did really feel, like, it was more just, like, getting used to saying mm-hmm. my wife.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also getting used to wearing a ring. Those were really the two things for me.
You do your taxes different?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that.
That was our first time. And that, I mean, that's where all the fun is.
Sure. Know? Taxes is always fun.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. That is.
The worst.
Oh, my God. It didn't feel different for me. It felt very similar. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'd been living together, and I don't know. It's like, yeah, nothing really changed.
Didn't feel like it really sealed the deal. Like,
no,
did you think, I got her now? She can't get away now.
I'm still.
Do you feel like you trapped me?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the intent, but I don't know. I still feel like I got to work hard to keep you around.
Well, you should.
You should be working hard. All guys should be working hard to keep their spouses and girlfriends around.
Yeah, I'd like to see her pick it up a little.
Well, that brings me to, I'm going to play the first song.
God damn it.
Off the new album. And I wanted to ask you, the song is called When I'm With You.
Yeah.
Now, is this, when you write a song like this, is it written for you, whoever you're dating or living with? I mean, like, is this written for Tony?
Yeah.
How's this go?
This one specifically was written for Tony, and this was written while we were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded it on a voice memo on my phone and sent it to him because I was like, hey, I wrote this song. What do you think? And I wanted him to like me.
Yeah.
And that was my way of like kind of being like,
well, didn't you know he already liked you because you were dating?
Well, we were dating when
it was pretty new at this. I think we were.
Yeah. We were like kinda, friends.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that initial push. So this song's been around for a while.
So then you send this song to him. Now you got to be nervous because you're thinking this could possibly scare him off.
Yeah. I think I kind of knew maybe he had some feelings.
Okay. And so when you get the song, what did you think?
It's a little boring. I've never been so flattered. I've never had a song written about me that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I thought the song was, you know, It helped that the song was really good, you know?
Yeah, if you didn't like it, I don't know what I would have done.
I'm going to change the title in my iTunes. I'm going to call it When I'm With Tony.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah,
but let's change Tony Stills while we're at it, too.
Yeah.
I told you that usually I cue up the songs to a cool spot in the song, but all these songs start really cool. So
thank you.
I'm going to be, any song I play from the album today, it's going to start at the beginning.
Cool.
So let's hear a little bit of When I'm With You.
I want to take you to Disneyland. I want to ride Space Mountain again and again and again. You make this modest mouse feel like Superman. When I'm with you.
Very nice. Very fun.
Thank you.
I love it.
It's a self-aware song.
That's like one of those like summer songs that you just, you know, you roll the windows down and you're heading to the beach and this is the album you put on.
Thank you.
That's what I say. This is the album.
That is a great compliment.
This is
that would be awesome.
That's how all these songs feel to me. Like I love nice. this is the kind of stuff I really like.
Yeah.
I don't know what do you call it? Do you call it pop music? What do you call it? I don't like to pigeonhole. But
I don't know. I mean, everyone's trying to look for that like title for what it is. And with this, it felt somewhere in between like indie rock mm-hmm. and pop.
Power pop.
Power pop seems to be the genre that mm-hmm. that is applicable for other artists that kind of sound like this. Yeah. So that's kind of what I've gone with.
It puts you in a good mood too. It makes you feel, this stuff makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
Imagine if one of the songs was actually about you.
Oh, yeah. That would I know. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Now, are you bummed that she said Back to the Future instead of Star Wars?
I'll allow it. You know, it is a little more appropriate if it was Star Wars, but I understand.
Tony is a big Star Wars fan, if anyone out there doesn't know. Are you a Star Wars fan also?
I now have to be.
Do you have to be?
Oh, yeah.
She's come around, though.
But I have come around, to be fair.
As the years go on, mm-hmm. you're allowed to fall out of that.
Oh, good.
I have been married 20 years in September, and the things that my wife was really excited about that I was excited about, she's not so excited about those things anymore, and that's okay. I understand. There's 19 Marvel movies. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, when we started dating, she had seen like bits and pieces of some of them, but that was it. And mm-hmm. then right before The Force Awakens came out, it's like, all right. We're gonna watch at least the original trilogy, so you can know what you're in for.
Yeah,
yeah. And then cut to when we saw The Last Jedi. We left the movie that night, and she wanted to go see it again the same night.
There, you tricked her. You did it. Yeah. You did it. You played a Jedi mind trick on her. How is Solo? I haven't seen it yet.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was my brief non-spoiler. Review is that it was what I wanted it to be. It was just like a fun adventure that didn't really have too much to do with
anything else. Just a true standalone.
You know, some little things here and there, but not too over the head with those things.
And so. Kaylin, you liked it also?
I haven't seen it.
You went by yourself? She was working.
Yeah, she was working.
She's working.
She was supposed to go and then had to work at the last minute.
So I was bummed. I did want to see it. Mm-hmm.
I bet he'll see it again.
You think?
Maybe.
I don't know. Is that pulling your arm?
We'll see.
All right.
Kaylin, does Tony play on this album?
Yeah.
All the drums on the album are Tony, or it's a couple tracks someone else?
All of the drums are Tony, and then all of the guitars, all the rest of the instruments are me.
Oh, that's great.
Not bass.
Oh, wait, except for bass. Yeah, I'm sorry. All the guitars, though, and the other stuff.
And not violin.
And not violin, because Sarah Watkins played violin on this.
Sarah Watkins of the Watkins family.
Of the Watkins family.
Very nice.
Yeah, so she was great.
When you ask these people to be on your album, is everyone excited? Are they immediately like flattered and ready to go?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. I wrote Sarah an email, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't know. She's going to, I don't know. I reread it probably like five times, be like, I don't know.
And Sarah's a good friend.
She is
of ours,
a good friend. But
she was still.
I was still nervous because she's so good. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to take up her time. You know, I just like, I don't know if she'll want to do it. And then sent it, and I got a message back in like 5 minutes. It was like, yeah, sounds great. Sounds fun. And it's like sent from my iPhone or whatever. she was so easy to work with and nice. And
did you write the violin part? Like you had a violin part in your head. You're like, oh, this would be great if this was violin.
Yeah. I wrote the parts out, and wrote what I thought would sound good. And I sent her that. And I said, what do you think about this? Like, do you feel like this would be good? You want to play this? I want you to like it, and I don't want to, you know, step on your toes or anything. And she was like, that sounds great. I really like those parts and whatever. And she just came in the studio and did it.
Now, forgive
really
me,
quickly.
But I don't remember which song has violin on it.
It's My Skin has violin on it. Right. And she was just such a pleasure to work with, you know, just really great.
A member of Led Zeppelin produced one of her albums.
Yeah. John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones. Yeah. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
It's nuts. Like,
I didn't know that until recently. I was talking to my good friend Todd Cooper is her husband, and he was talking about like times like he went to the studio and was like hanging out with John Paul Jones, which is, that's a very surreal seeming thing.
Yeah.
I know. And it's just, you know, who says that? No one can. No, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You self-produce this?
I self-produce most of it. Andy Freeman produced La La and Colorblind. And then because of some scheduling things, we couldn't finish the record together. Mm-hmm. We did those two songs first. And then he ended up having to move to Nashville. And so it just didn't work out that we could finish it. So instead of trying to pull someone else in the project that I didn't really know, I was like, okay, I'm just going to finish it myself, which was probably because Tony told me I could do it and pushed me to do it. So I,
how's that for a supportive?
That's very nice. Yeah. And how do you know, how do you have, you have to be very self-aware, I guess, when you're doing, like when someone directs a movie and they're also acting in it, I'm always like, how do you know if you're doing a good job acting? Like, how do you know?
Yeah.
Or do you just say, this is the sound I was looking for. This is the way I wanted it to be. So it must be okay.
Yeah. That's kind of always the trouble, is you never know if your ideas are really coming across. Because you stop being, you know, a listener and you start being a part of the process. So it was hard, but it was good because I trust Tony's opinion a lot. And I had some other people around me that I could kind of bounce some stuff off of. And if it wasn't working, you know, I could gauge that a little bit. But with these songs, I mean, I wrote it to sound like this. So I fleshed out these demos pretty well. So I kind of knew what I was getting into when we were going in the studio. We were replacing parts a lot of times and making them better with better sounds. So
that's good. You want to make it better. And then when do you put it to rest? When are you like, because you could keep working on something forever and ever and ever, and then it would be Chinese democracy.
I know, right? Yeah. I didn't want to go for a Chinese democracy with this. It was just done when I felt like it. When I was tired of working on it, I was like, you know what? This is going to be what it's going to be.
Do you finish one track at a time, or do you just, or do you like set one aside and work on another? Like if something's not working on one track?
Yeah, I did that a lot. So with overdubs, because we track the drums and the bass together, and then when we were doing the overdubs, we did all of the guitars in like 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And then I came back and I tracked the vocals at home. So you can hear my dog breathing on a few of those tracks.
I like stuff like that, though.
I know. It's so weird. But I just like, if I got stuck in a rut, I let it go because I don't want to like marinate on it too much and then just hate myself and also the music. So I would move on and then come back to it.
Well, let's hear a little of My Skin. I don't know where how deep in is the violin part from Sarah Watkins?
Pretty deep in, I would say a minute.
All right. Well, we'll start at the beginning and maybe I'll try to find. If it was at a minute five, I would give you
that'd
I would
be
give
so
you,
impressive.
I would give you a $20 bill.
Well, oh my God. Like plucky stuff earlier in the song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's plucky stuff.
All right. Let's hear a little of My Skin.
I have numbers to call if I feel down. I get visits from friends from out of town. I could even throw a party. I'd invite everyone I know. I'd laugh extra loud, but I don't know who'll listen when everyone has gone home. The loneliest I've ever been is right here inside of this skin.
Jump ahead and find that violin.
I mean, it's there now.
I'm not a musician, Tony.
And actually, that was the song I played at your place. I played My Skin on Rock Solid.
Before, that's like a Rock Solid exclusive.
Yeah, Rock Solid exclusive.
I want to see. I'll have to go back and
RSE.
Yeah.
That's the thing about podcasting. As soon as I'm done recording,
yep.
And then sometimes like I have like 6 or 7 episodes in the can right now that are going to, and like people will hear those and then they'll tweet at me or text me and go, oh my God, when you and Kyle did this, and I'll go, I don't even know what you're talking about.
100%.
It's so weird.
Yeah. But actually listeners might know that one because that was,
the listeners will know it.
Yeah,
the listeners
possibly,
know everything.
Possibly.
The listeners know everything.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to compliment my wife because that, you know, she played it solo on Rock Salad.
And she was sick when she played it. It sounded good.
I got very used to hearing the song like that, just acoustic guitar and vocal. And I was like, yeah, that's all it needs to be. And then all that production on that song is all her. And it's such a, that song is so well produced.
Thank you.
The instrumentation on it is, yeah, it's way beyond what I was hearing in my head.
It sounds great.
Thanks, dude.
Where did you guys record this? Did you rent a recording facility? Did you do it at home, in the garage, in the garage?
Oh, the garage. We recorded drums and bass at 64 Sound, which is owned by Pierre DeReeder, who was in Rilo Kiley. He kind of got all of his stuff and put it in a cool studio and was like, I'm going to rent this out. And so we did most of the basics there. And then the guitars we did at our friend Frankie Siragusa's place called The Lab in Highland Park. And he just built his own studio in his garage. And it's awesome. And then Sarah played violin at Studio P in Pacoima, which is my friend Will Kennedy's studio. So it's like a real hodgepodge. And then the vocals were done at home.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really kind of a quilt of recording, but
what's amazing now though is back in the day, this would all have to have been done I'm using quotes, a professional recording studio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not that where you guys did it wasn't professional. It's just like, you couldn't do it back then. You couldn't just record in your garage or wherever.
Yeah.
And it sounds as good as anything else.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's a great thing and a terrible thing, I'm sure, for studio owners.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can do a bad recording and have it be a great song, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't matter, yeah. you know, but also it helps if you kind of have a plan and you know a little bit what you're doing or what you want. Going in, like, that's the problem with going to studio. Sometimes you can just get lost for days. You know, you can just waste so much time,
mm-hmm.
and that's expensive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the record labels, they don't pay for the cocaine anymore, do they?
I think they're still paying for still heroin, cocaine? But not
there's
cocaine.
Still a budget, yeah. A drug budget?
Yeah.
What was our drug budget for this one?
Very low.
Do you guys drink? Are you drinkers?
Yeah.
A red wine?
I don't drink a ton.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I enjoy the drinking.
I like a beer.
Yeah. Usually we'll just drink beer.
Just drink beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's what the cool kids do. Last night we watched Black Panther, and my wife hadn't seen it. So
we still have not seen it.
Yeah. I know.
And so I had some type of bourbon and ginger ale, some old man drink. And literally I woke up today like I was hungover I drank all night. Like literally, yeah. One drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lightweight. I'm very, very light.
I've finally hit that age of now when I drink of it's ridiculous. It just makes me tired.
Yeah.
It used to wake me up and I was like, let's do this. But now it's just like, okay, I'm ready for bed.
Yeah.
Let me cover this this soft topic that I've created today. Some of the artists that were on the original Lilith Fair, it was created, or whatever you want to say, founded by Sarah McLachlan. And the other artists would have been Sheryl Crow and Tracy Chapman and Jewel and Suzanne Vega, Fiona Apple, Joan Osborne, Lisa Loeb, Indigo Girls, all those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone knows those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just going to play, we're going to take a break from Tiny Steals for a second. Steals is what I said.
Tiny Steals.
It's that Pennsylvania.
Tiny Steals. It is. It is the Pennsylvania. I will blame the Pennsylvania thing on any word that I say wrong.
You got Steelers on the brain.
Steelers, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny Steelers.
The Steelers. That's Steelers. Right, yeah.
So this is a Sarah McLachlan cover of a Tom Waits song called Old 55.
Feeling so holy, God knows I was feeling alive. The sun's coming.
Familiar with Old 55 by Tom Waits?
I don't know that one in particular.
Mm-hmm. Also done by the Eagles, or just Eagles, according to Glenn Frey. There's no the in it.
Yeah, but he's dead now. So
he's dead
you
now.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah. The all caps, T-H-E.
It is appropriate, though, that you played a Tom Waits cover after you asked us about drinking, because when Kaylin does...
didn't even think of that.
When Kaylin does drink, she's then known to start singing "The Piano Has Been Drinking."
Yeah. That's my go-to drinking song.
Perfect. Do you guys have a lot of instruments at your house?
A lot.
Yeah.
Do you have a piano at your house?
That's keyboards, only but no we don't piano. Have.
Are you still at the same house where I recorded Feliz Navipod?
No. We
different place.
Yeah. We're living in Glendale.
Yeah. We don't have room for a piano.
Mm-hmm. Or money.
Room piano, money for a piano.
Piano is an expensive piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Not that other instruments are, but a piano always seems like...
You know who doesn't have a piano is Ben Folds. He doesn't have one.
What do you mean?
He doesn't have one in his house.
You've been to Ben Folds' house?
No. He said this at a show we were at. He was
that because it seems like work to have it at his house.
He writes it in his head.
He literally writes in his head. He said, and then by the time he gets to a piano, it's like done. Basically,
speaking of amazing piano,
crazy.
You can't practice in your head though.
He doesn't practice.
Doesn't need to practice.
And I was like, that's nuts to me.
That's crazy.
But. Yeah, no piano for us either. Or Ben Folds.
We're basically just like Ben Folds is what we're saying.
Well, after June 2nd, when this thing sells through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Look out, Ben.
Kickstarter people got a handwritten note from you.
Oh, yeah. They got a handwritten note. There's a handwritten lyric booklet.
So you'd have those all.
Exclusive.
No, wait. You couldn't have handwritten a book for everyone. You hand wrote it, and then it mass produced.
I made it like a zine. Yeah. Okay. So I it's all hand folded and made, but I made a master copy of like the lyrics and some artwork and some stuff like a zine.
Was that fun or did that feel like work?
I love doing that.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
You got a few pointers from our everybody's pal, April Richardson.
April Richardson, she does the zines.
Some pointers on that. I've sent her an email.
She said, totes for real, dude. I can show you how to do that.
Yeah, she said totes. I can totes do that.
So when the vinyl was delivered to your house and you cracked that open, that must have been a fun day.
Well, we went to pick it up, actually.
Where'd you go?
Rainbow Records in Canoga Park. Is that where they are, Tom?
I don't remember. That sounds right.
Yeah, so we drove there and they wheeled it out on a pallet, on a like little cart thing. But like right next to me were like pallets full of like Side One Dummy records and Epitaph records. And then this guy wheeled mine out and I was like, there's mine.
There's mine. Take a picture of that.
I did. Yeah, so that was a fun day.
Now, how do you know if it's going to work? Are you worried then? You were like, oh, what if we put this on and it doesn't play? How do we know?
I didn't even cross that bridge in my head. I was like, there's no way this isn't working.
Did you open one immediately and play it? Do you have a turntable at the house?
We do. I opened it, but we didn't put it on.
Yeah, we just looked at it. Our turntable needs some work.
So. Yeah.
We just looked at it. I like that. We just looked at it.
I didn't want to know if it didn't play.
There were grooves
break
there.
Break my heart.
There were grooves.
It looked like a record. I was like, this is good. We went through two test pressings of it at that point, so I was pretty confident.
What's a test pressing do?
So when you... They would send me back a test pressing to make sure that they were getting it right and there wasn't any kind of artifact that was really hindering the playback. Mm-hmm. So like skips or anything like that. And there was a skip on My Skin, the song you just played. And so we had to remaster side A.
All right.
Yeah.
And is that, that's more money when you have to do that?
Sure is. Yeah. But I mean, with vinyl, it's such a finicky medium.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff happens and you can't even predict that happening. This record was mastered twice. It was mastered once for digital, so it's louder, you know, and then it was mastered once for vinyl so that it sounds the best that it can sound on that medium, which is cool because not a lot of records do that. Sometimes they just take the digital files and they put it on a record and they call it a record, but it's really not the same. So this one got remastered side A twice just to make sure there weren't any skips or anything. So
perfect.
I was pretty confident when I put that thing on that sucker was going to play.
It sounds like you guys did it right.
I hope so.
Did you have to, did the money you raised on Kickstarter, was that enough to cover all of these expenses or did you have to dip into pocket?
It covered everything.
That's
so
great.
So that was the goal.
Did someone work a budget out for you prior to this and say, you know what, for this amount of, if you can raise this amount of money, you'll be able to do everything you want to do?
Yeah, I did.
You did it yourself.
Yeah, I had messaged the plant that I wanted to work with, and which was Rainbow, based on the recommendations of the mastering engineer that I wanted to work with.
Okay.
And I had talked to the engineer I wanted to work with and all of the studios. So I had gotten a budget together to know how much it was going to cost to make it. And I just did it for that amount on Kickstarter.
When you have an engineer, is that a one-time fee? Is it an hourly rate? How do you pay an engineer?
Yeah, it's a day rate.
It's a day rate.
Yeah. So we would base it on like a 10, 12 hour day of somebody being there and, you know, recording it or engineering us. And then, yeah, it was a long process because it takes a long time to just get everything right. And you don't want to, with Kickstarter, it's an all or nothing thing.
Yeah.
So you really have to budget correctly in the beginning. Otherwise, like, you're out for shipping and you actually can't make the thing that you thought you could make. So with the Kickstarter, that was everything that I needed, and that went straight to the record. So everything you see is because of the Kickstarter.
Kickstarter, it was created to give people a heart attack because, you know, it's like days before and you're not quite there yet.
Sure.
And it's just like, it just must be crazy because it went pretty close, right? Until you hit it.
Yeah. So when I was on Rock Solid last, like, I was sick because I had spent the first 2 weeks of the Kickstarter basically up until 1 a.m. And then I would wake up really early to see if anyone had given anything.
In a cold sweat.
Honest to God. Yeah. And like, so I was really sick the first couple weeks because I was so invested in what it was doing and if I was interacting with people and what I could do.
It was also like what? 3 months before our wedding.
And it was 3 months before our wedding.
So it was like a good combo.
I just wanted to make it the worst case scenario of things I had to keep track of in my brain. But yeah, it was a stressful but fun situation. You know,
it was
so great to be able to raise that and make this record. So
yeah. And have, and know that you have people out there that want to hear it and they're supporting you. And that's a good feeling.
That was a great
feeling.
And
it is kind of really funny to me that the album is coming out 9 months after you're married. That is just, it's kind of, the number is kind of funny.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Okay, let's hit a song called, hear a little bit of Colorblind.
Yeah, thank you. That was co-written with my friends Anthony Ranieri and Steve Sobislai.
And are there many co-writes on the album?
No, that's the only one. Yeah.
That's the only one? That's the one I like least. I like the one. No. I'm going to give this to my 13-year-old to listen to.
Cool.
She just started to play ukulele.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And when I say starting to play, I mean she picked it up and a week later she's playing it. And I'm like, how do you... What the heck? Like, I don't have that ear. Like, she's like, oh, I think that's an A. No, like, she'll just listen to a song and then she like works it out. I think that's what a real musician does.
Does she play another instrument or is this her first instrument?
No, this is her first.
Wow.
I have a guitar.
Cool.
That I don't know how to play, but she told me, bring that guitar in from the garage. I want to try that.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
All right. I'll bring it in.
That's cool.
She can sing. She can sing.
Yeah.
But this is the first instrument that she's picked up. And
that's awesome.
And what I like, and maybe you guys were like this when you were kids and you started to learn your instruments, she just goes in her room and picks it up, and then I hear her singing and playing. Mm-hmm. So it's not a thing where, like, you make your kid take piano lessons and you're like, you have to practice. Like, she loves it. Like, she wants to do it.
That's great.
And I think that's what's really cool.
Yeah, because like, it goes either way. Yeah, some kids will really be into it and do that, and then some, because I've taught some drum lessons before, mm-hmm. and I know you've taught guitar lessons as well. And there are some kids that are definitely there because their parents are making them be there.
Yeah.
And then every week they show up and they have not practiced. They don't know what's going on.
They don't know what's going on. Yeah. And their parents are just wasting money.
Yep.
So it's really fun to just to be in the living room and hear her in her bedroom playing it and knowing that I didn't make her do that. And
yeah,
mommy didn't make you do that. She's just having fun.
That's cool.
This is a little bit about my life. okay. So if Lilith Fair was happening today and we would have Tiny Stills would be on the show and probably this duo called Tegan and Sarah would probably make an appearance on if I'm booking the show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. I'm booking the show.
Good call. I approve.
Agreed.
This is a song called Closer.
All I want to get is a little bit closer. All I want to know is, can you come a little closer? Here comes the breath.
When I was picking songs for today, my wife said, did you talk to the girls to see if they had some suggestions for you? And I said, nah. I just got in touch with my own feminine side. I can pick a couple songs. I think I'm okay.
That's awesome.
What does your 13-year-old listen to these days, if I may ask?
Well, she just, and this is going to crack you up. She just had to do like a scrapbook about herself. And so she listed, because I just looked at the finished product the other day. It was for a school project. And here's who she had listed as her favorite music artists. David Bowie, The Beatles, Queen, and ABBA.
Nice. Oh my God. How cool is she?
She is like, she's so listening to cool. The Beatles like, just not, you know, they have Spotify on their phones and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's just like listening to The Beatles all the time. Her favorite, she loves Blackbird, and she loves Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. She goes, Dad, I could listen to those songs just over and over nonstop.
Oh my God.
She sounds great.
She sounds and, so cool.
Thank you. She is cool. They're both good kids. Knock on wood. We have good kids. And for the for eighth grade graduation, she's on ukulele. She's going to sing In My Life.
That's so awesome.
And my wife is going to cry.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
100%.
And then I'll go, what are you crying about? Stop crying.
Oh no.
But so that's what that's what she's listening to. But then she likes Taylor Swift, and my oldest daughter, she's all about really independent artists, which I have one. I'll just play it right now. This is an artist called Mal Blum. Have you ever heard of Mal
Blum? I actually toured with Mal Blum for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to get my pronouns right. They are one of my daughter's favorites.
Oh, Mal's great.
Yeah. So here we go. This is called Better Go.
Drunk, darling, I wish that you would. It's such a pretty house in a pretty yard in a pretty neighborhood. God damn it, I wish that it were a metaphor for feeling or the hardcover of your new memoir. Oh my God, look at all the stuff you got. Does it make your loneliness more bearable? You look a lot like me, but remiss the often. And I wish that I was. Better go, better go, better go without me. Cause I don't know the thing to say. It's all the mental they need where your body stands beside.
Yeah, it's fun to find some common ground though with the kids when we're listening to music, because when we drive them to school in the morning, that's when we listen to music, and sometimes daddy plays his music, sometimes the daughters play their music, and it's fun to see what I like that they like. Like, my oldest daughter loves the Kinks.
Nice.
Oh, loves that's the cool Kinks. Too.
And we're going to see the Kooks not the Kinks, the Kooks, in 2 weeks at the Wheelton. She loves the Kooks too. Nice. So
that's really cool. Awesome.
That's fun. What now? What do you now as a musician? What music are you guys listening to?
I'm listening to a lot of Charlie Bliss, which I feel like they would like. What else am I listening to? I kind of have been listening to a lot of Superdrag, a lot of bands from like the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're on a huge 90s kick right now.
I'm especially bad with a lot of newer music.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. There's so much music out there.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to find what you like in it.
I mean, sometimes. There was always a ton of music out there, but now it's, I mean, you can access it all. So it's like, from doing this podcast, people always send me music and there's just almost not enough hours in the day to listen to everything. Like people, just listen to those 4 albums I sent you. I'm like, not yet.
Yeah. I think the newest thing that I have been enjoying is a band called Roswell Kid has a new record out that I really enjoy.
You could literally name a million artists and people would go, I've never heard of that before. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's not great. Mm-hmm. But, and you're going to play a song live for us.
Yeah.
You're going to play a song called Let's Fall in Love.
Yes.
How was this written for Tony?
This was written while Tony was on tour. But it's kind of
about someone else.
They're all written about Tony. It is kind of about falling in love. It's a bit of a bittersweet song, but
And you'll play that live.
I sure will.
And can I videotape you when you play that live?
Yes.
Look at that. And then Patreon people, you'll get to watch Kaylin play that live.
Perfect.
Did you bring your drum set? Will you be joining in?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I left it in my other pants.
Darn. Whenever you want to do that, we can do that.
Cool.
You want to do that right now?
Right now? Yeah, sure. I got to get my stuff out.
Do you have to tune up?
I do have to tune up. Let me do that.
All right. Kaylin, we'll get it ready. And all right. Live in the studio from the album Laughing Into the Void, this is Kaylin West of Tiny Stills with the song Let's Fall in Love.
I was fine before you came along. I'll be fine long after you're gone. But in the meantime, let's mutually self-destruct. Let's have a breakdown and tell our friends that we fell in love. And it'll be so cool smoking cigarettes like we won't die, like the kids do, 'cause we don't need the truth to feel alive. Let's get vulnerable, it's scarier than doing drugs. Let's pretend this story ends well despite what history taught us. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love, me and you with no parachute. Let's fall in love. Jealous of the boys I used to touch, and I resent the girls just as much. I don't know why it's so painful to drop my guard, but brick by stupid brick, this is the hardest thing I've done. But we look so cool smoking cigarettes like we won't die, like the kids do, 'cause we don't need the truth to feel alive. Let's get vulnerable, it's scarier than doing drugs. Let's pretend this story ends well despite what history taught us. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love, me and you with no parachute. Let's fall in love. On a tightrope, hoping that you won't let go. This electric fence with no home on either side. And if you care to join me, we won't be scared or lonely, even if we both might. Let's fall in love. There you go.
That was excellent.
Thanks, you guys.
Tony, come over. Set your mic up. That was fabulous.
Cool.
You sound perfect.
Thank you.
That was excellent. You can put your can put your gear down.
Let me put this over there.
Now do you see why I married her?
It's great. Yeah, you're so talented. And,
thank you.
And I thought you sounded good when you were sick, but you were sick because that
was
totally that
sick.
Was so
thank you.
That was so perfect.
Thanks.
Now the tour that you're doing right now,
yeah.
Are you guys the headliners? Are you on like a package tour with some other bands? Are you closing the show?
Sure. So with this recent tour we're going to do in June, so we're doing Los Angeles, Phoenix, Albuquerque. We have a date in Vegas, and then we're coming back. So super short, but we are headlining.
All of them?
Or yeah.
I thought it was only LA.
Yeah, bring your A game.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Ooh, now I'm nervous.
I misspoke. Sundressed is, we're playing with our friend Sundressed. They're going to headline in Phoenix and Albuquerque and with Northbound. Yeah. And Northbound's on that tour too. So it is, we are switching it up depending on the city.
Yeah. Cause they're from that area.
Cause they're from that area. So they, that's like their home turf. But they're great too. And then in August and September, it's going to be a co-headline with my friends Get Married in San Jose. So they are like a surf rock band. They're like heavily Elvis influenced, but also pop punk and fun. But that's going to be a co-headline with them.
Well, Rock Solid fans, you have to go out and see Tiny Stills when they come to your area. And now you have a publicist because this album is coming out.
I do.
And the reason I know that is because I didn't go through your publicist to get you on the show because I know you.
No, we're
and
buddies.
It's just easier right. to just send you a message. But I do write reviews for Pop Culture Beast, and so I'm always getting press releases and stuff, and they're on it with you. I've gotten tons about this single's out, and then this song is out, and the
That's
album's
cool.
So they're working it, because I mean, if little old me is getting these, then I assume the big people are getting it, the important people are getting it also. So good.
She's great. She actually gave to the Kickstarter. She was a friend.
That's nice.
A friend who I met through music. But yeah, I'm so glad that's going well.
Yeah. Where are you going to play here in LA? What's the venue?
Yeah, we're playing the Hi-Hat.
Where is the Hi-Hat?
It's on York Boulevard. It's near Donut Friend.
In Highland Park.
In Highland Park.
Okay.
It's a great spot.
It's really nice.
When is that date? I'm coming to that show.
That's the 31st.
Oh, I can't make it. The 31st, wait.
Of May. It's of Thursday. May.
That's,
today.
That's what we were rehearsing for, yeah. So that's...
Tonight. You're playing tonight.
Tonight.
Wait, that's not tonight. Oh, yeah, that's tonight.
Pretend it's Thursday.
Oh, my God, behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain, pretend it's Thursday.
I know.
That was good, Tony, that you remembered to.
Well, I'm
today's Thursday. Because the album comes out tomorrow.
The album comes out tomorrow. We're playing tonight at the Hi-Hat. Boom.
I wonder if I can get, I have to see this guy. We have high school graduation this week.
That's
not important.
And it is important. It would be fun. I would like to see it.
The high school graduation?
I thought you meant the show wasn't important.
No, I'm saying the
high school graduation is not important. I was going to go see Jethro Tull, but now I don't think I can. That's the night of the high school graduation. It's kind of hard to say, yeah, after graduation, when you guys are going to go do something fun, I'm just going to head over to the Greek Theater and see some 80-year-old men play the flute.
So fantastic.
How do you get on, like, how do you get on a tour, like, where a major artist says, I want Tiny Stills to be our support band? How does something like that happen?
Well...
And would that be something that you would really want to happen?
Sure, yeah, I would 100% do that.
Yeah.
It happens, and I'm sure Tony can speak to this, too. A lot of times it's just a matter of people who know you or know of your music. A lot of times, like... major acts will reach out directly to bands and be like, hey, do you want to do this? I really like your music. Which is kind of a funny thing that happens because when you think about it, like a lot of times bands that are headlining, big bands that you might like, often pick or hand pick, you know, direct support or that opening slot that maybe you don't want to go to because it's too early in the day or whatever.
Right.
A lot of times they actually pick those bands. Other times you can be submitted for the tour through like a booking agent or something. But I would love to someday be an opening artist on a larger tour.
And how do you make, is there anything that you personally can do to make that happen other than submitting have a management or something submit?
Yeah, management submits some stuff. We don't have the tour history yet, but after August and September, I will have done two or three full national tours.
Yeah.
So this year I will have hit up the whole United States a couple times to have something to pull from. So tour history is a big deal when you're doing submissions like that, where you don't have, you know, maybe you're a smaller artist or whatever. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you catch fire and you are a little nobody who suddenly gets 3 million views on a video and people are like, who's this? Which does happen, but you know, that's the exception.
Yeah. It's definitely a combo of, the submissions. And then, like you said, sometimes a band, somebody in a band might just know like about you and love you. Yeah. And then suddenly one day you get a very unexpected email and you're like, oh, really? You want me to open?
Well. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
For you. That would be so cool.
I would love
that.
I mean, I've always wanted to be a musician. I knew that since I was a kid that I wanted to be a musician, and I just never knew I would love touring as much as I do. Mm-hmm. And I really do. I really love being in a different city every day and experiencing it and meeting new people. So that's what I want to be doing. So maybe next year or the next year after that, I don't know. I'm putting it out into the world. This is what I want to do.
Listen up, folks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's great.
So, I don't know.
I had another question on the tip of my tongue. Oh, now your family, are they supportive of your career choice?
Yes.
Because so often, my parents and their generation, they're not so savvy with what's going on with entertainment. But how are your parents are supportive?
They are. They've always supported me, and I'm grateful for that, because if they didn't, I don't know how keen I would be to think I could pursue something so crazy as being a professional musician. So I really am grateful for that. I think they are still secretly hoping that I will go back to school to be a lawyer. I come from a family of lawyers who are like, you got it, it's in there, they think it's in my blood.
Did you graduate from college?
Yeah. I went to school for college.
I
went
to college. To college school. I went to college school. College school. You went to college for music.
For music. and engineering, specifically for recording engineering.
Okay.
Because I wanted to know how to record my own songs and do what Tony pushed me to do, that I didn't, second guess myself with this record. But I went to school for engineering, and I'm doing it now.
Well, it paid off. So, send your parents that album and say, look,
I'm
putting my degree to use.
They're so nice. They're proud. I think they're going to try to come to the show. They live in Sacramento, so it's a bit of a drive. But
do you? Do they like the music?
Yeah, I think so. Well, my mom hates...
Can I please tell about when you played the one song for your mom?
Yeah.
Is it a song from this album?
I forget what song it was, though.
It is. It's Let's Fall in Love, that one I just played.
Okay. All right.
So we had gone to visit her parents and played that song for her. And there's a bunch of feedback at the end of the song.
Okay.
And her mom just immediately said, oh, you left that in there.
Mom, that's supposed to be in there. That's rock and roll, Mom.
She was so upset. By it.
My mom, she's such a character.
How old is your mom? Can I ask how old your mom is?
She is 70.
Okay.
3?
I don't think it's that high.
Thank God you didn't say 55, which is what I'll be next year. 73?
She's
in
her 70s.
That's the age where they wouldn't want to hear the feedback.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well,
it was just such a good moment. Loved it.
I always think when I was a teenager and I was listening to music and my mom and dad were younger than I am now, and they would come to my room and go, oh, what is this racket? Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, it's Billy Joel. Ugh. The worst.
I think do you find yourself doing that with with some current music? Because I'm there now.
They'll play stuff for me in the car and I'll be like, that I don't like that much.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's good. It doesn't appeal to me on any level. But I got to be honest, I'm pretty open to and like a lot of the stuff that they play for me. And it's stuff that I would never find on my own.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like, what's this band called? Never even heard of that name in my life. And we'll listen to like the whole album. Uh-huh. That's what we like to, listen to an album top to bottom.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
let's hear another song. What do you want me to hear? Lala?
Yeah, sure. Lala's the first
Can you blame
single.
Me? Small. Oh, yeah. Let's play that.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of Lala.
You should call the shots. Tell me how you know exactly what I want. I don't, yeah, I don't. When I know one thing that's true, it's that I never asked you for all your free advice. It's so worthless to me.
Lala is the first single.
Yeah.
How do you go about getting Lala played, like, somewhere on the radio, college radio? Where? Because I know now when you say it's a single, it means that's the first song that was released. Like, you can get that on iTunes or Amazon or wherever. But then is it the publicist? Is it a manager? Who tries to get you, like, I'll say on the radio, even though that sounds so old school nowadays. But I mean...
Right.
Is it on Spotify?
It's released on Spotify and in streaming services. Okay.
And then can you track if people are listening to it?
Yeah, I can see who's listening to it and where they're listening from. And for college radio, that's like a submission process. So you can either find a publicist who will submit you to a college radio and do a college radio campaign. I'm not so sure about satellite radio.
Labels will do a lot of times.
Like when you're on a label, a lot of times they'll do that for you because they'll try to get traction in that market or whatever. But this is all independently released.
Yes,
so if I wanted to do that, I would have to find a publicist who can do that. Or do it myself.
Yeah.
But a lot of times submissions from an independent artist won't gain traction from a college radio station. You're better off getting it from a friend who's being like, hey, you listen to this yet? Than you are being an independent artist submitting to a station.
Right.
But yeah, this one's currently out. There's music videos for this on YouTube.
Is this the texting?
This is the texting video.
That's a great video.
Thank you.
Let's give some props to some people who did that video.
Yeah. My friend Taylor Allen did that video. Okay. He directed it and shot it. Writer of the movie Chappaquiddick.
I saw Chappaquiddick. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He's been a friend for a long time, like way before we, you know, he wrote Chappaquiddick and did his whole shtick. But he's been super supportive of my music and stuff, and likewise him with writing. But he directed that and had the idea for the text, because if you watch the video, it's like a text thread.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was the mastermind behind it.
Please watch the video. It's really fun. And I like to say that Lala is the love theme from Chappaquiddick. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that
accurate.
Is that accurate?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Chappaquiddick there's a love theme in Chappaquiddick. Oh, yeah. That's such a great, I'm asking these questions because you've put your heart and soul into making this album, and it's great. Like, I think like everyone should buy this and listen to it. But then I want to know as an outsider, now what do you do now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
I think now, and Tony, you can chime in whenever you want if you've thought about it.
I don't think he knows anything about it.
Like, what's next is playing shows and touring and doing that stuff. And finding, like, the hardest part about making an album isn't making an album. It's finding the audience.
It's finding the audience to listen to it.
So a lot of times it's doing things like this, like, you know, coming on Rock Solid, and it's talking to friends who also play music and going on tour and playing shows and finding new markets. And I say markets like, you know, just areas, basically. Mm-hmm. So a revenue, like a market would be like college radio or like satellite radio or touring, like all of those different kinds of places are ways that an artist can find their audience. You know, and it's just a matter of keeping at it and doing it. I didn't really do what I'm doing now for the first record. So mm-hmm. there is a first record that's out there that came out in 2014 that I didn't put this much effort into because I just didn't know. You know, I was an independent artist. I have always, you know, have been. But with this, like, the next step for this project is touring. And we have a tour in August and September, full national tour that we're working on now. It's just a matter of...
Well, this album feels like a bigger step than the last album. It definitely does. So you're yeah. doing... You're on the right trajectory.
And, I'm hoping to stay on the
trajectory. What about... This is so stupid. This is like something my mom would say. What if you sent a copy of this album to the person who books the musical acts on Conan O'Brien? I mean, is that something that would... Is that even something that could happen? Would they listen to it and go, oh, maybe we should give the... You know what I mean? Like...
Tony, what do you think?
Are there
I mean, I suppose
his face is so like.
It's probably technically possible, but I feel like it's unlikely. Like that, because my Motion City soundtrack, my old
sure,
band,
sure.
we played on a few shows back mm-hmm. in the day, and you know that came through publicists,
right.
you know, knowing somebody there, and you know, I'm sure it helped that we were right. on a label and everything.
Because when I lived in Chicago and I was started doing stand up comedy, my mom would go, "You should call Oprah."
I'm like,
sure, mom.
Yeah.
And then what? Let's say I get her on the phone. Then what? I mean, it's just like, so right. that sounds like one of my mom's stupid,
yeah.
But you have a product that you can hold in your hand and it's fantastic. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know where.
So much of this business. I mean, well, honestly, let's be honest. Life in general
yeah.
is knowing somebody.
Right.
You know, or at least know somebody who knows somebody.
Right.
And I think that's really key a lot of the time. So we gotta start hobnobbing with
you. Gotta
the big
start knowing people.
Often.
Well, yeah. you have quite a relationship with Ben Folds. I know that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
go
you
over
know.
There
Ben
a lot
house.
Of time.
Yeah.
And he just and he puts a paper keyboard out, right?
Exactly. He draws. He's got one of those ones that you stand on like in big.
That's the one he does have. I always like when toy stores have those. It's not the same as the one in big.
No. It's not.
Terrible. This is awful.
What
you're
a sham.
You're stepping on three keys at once.
It's, yeah.
No, that's all movie making magic. We have a soft topic today. Lilith Fair. I'm going to say Haim would be there.
Yeah.
I believe you mean Haim.
How do you say it?
That's a great question.
I think it's Haim.
I don't think it is. Because I think I've looked this up a couple times. I say Haim, but I think I'm saying it wrong.
Well, I had, talking about people who know people.
Okay.
I had friends that used to be neighbors with them, basically, when
okay.
they were
the sisters.
When they were very young and knew like the parents and the and
so
kids.
It is Haim.
And they called them Haim. That maybe they could be wrong, but I had a little bit of an inside tip on that one.
Well,
I wonder if I look it up.
I don't know.
If I look it up on Wikipedia, will it give me like a pronunciation? Let me see. I'm going to look it up. This is good radio.
maybe the, although, no, they always take the SNL performances off.
Pronounced, it says pronounced in its capital H, capital Y, dash, lowercase am. Haim.
Haim.
Haim. Haim.
It's yeah. like, how does Nardwar say it?
So it's not Haim.
Sure, that's right.
I said Haim. That's wrong.
Yeah.
So it's Haim.
I was quite sure it wasn't.
You said Haim.
Haim.
But this is like
Haim. I go back. I sometimes Haim. I go Haim or Haim.
Haim.
Yeah.
I do love them.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I've tried to get them on a couple times, and their publicist is super nice. And I believe it'll happen.
Oh my God. They're sometime. So good.
And, I'll take any of them. Take all three sisters. Take one.
Yeah.
Take Esty with the bass face. Whoever wants to come. Because I really like them. But this
yeah,
is a
great.
This song is a Little of Your Love.
You're just another recovering heart. I wasn't even gonna try. You wouldn't even give a damn. Could be so easy and make it hard. Don't think about it all too much. My love is gonna be. You're so close now, and I know now. You gotta give me just a little of your love, baby, and I'll try. You gotta give me just a little of your love.
like Hyams on Saturday Night Live. I want Tiny Stills to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. That was the first time I ever heard them was when they were on SNL. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what I mean. Like all of a sudden you're like, who's this? I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So often you don't know those people.
No.
And it's think of it.
And they only have two albums out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your second album's as good as their second album.
Oh my God.
Not even joking.
High praises.
I'm not even joking though.
Was that from their second album?
That's from their second album.
Yeah, I hadn't heard. I don't think I've heard any of
that. That guitar lick was sick.
That's from Something to Tell You.
That's awesome. I don't think I've heard that one.
But I still don't think that, like, when I hear them live, I think they're better live than they are on their record. And I don't think they've found the producer yet that can bring that liveness to the album yet.
Maybe they also need to self-produce.
Maybe they do.
You're setting a trend here, Caitlin.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, you are. Trust me.
Thanks.
You need to support Hyam.
Oh man, see that would be a fantastic tour. Do they headline? I don't know.
Yeah, they just played out at the Fox Theater and they headlined.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, they're so good.
They are good.
Yeah, I would love to play with them.
That's the kind of a band I think about when I think of like where your career is going next. Should go next.
That would be great.
So that's what
I'm saying. So make that happen.
Yeah, I'll just snap my... Let me call Oprah. Just call her.
Well, I don't want to play every single song on your record, even though tomorrow people can go to iTunes and they can sample 90 seconds of every single song. Yeah. I want people to go seek it out. I want them to find the songs that we didn't play.
Sure.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I will use one of the songs as a play out and I'll let you pick it. We'll go through the ones we didn't play yet. But before we go, let's do some promotion. Where are you at on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can find me at Tiny Stills.
Oh, you got it, huh? You were able to get that.
Yeah.
Good. No one took it. You're not underscore Stills?
No, it's just Tiny Stills.
Or at Real Tiny Stills?
Yeah, right. No, not Tiny Stills Music or anything.
None of that. You're at Tiny Stills.
Yeah, actually every platform at Tiny Stills, you can find me.
Where's the name come from? I don't know if I asked you that the last time we talked.
I don't think you did. The name Tiny Stills is the idea that every song is just a little snapshot into my life at one time. And it might not always be true, but at that time, that's really how I felt. Because I wanted something that I could just be honest and, you know, tell it like it was and not feel bad about it. It was like my way of making an excuse to be honest with my music.
That's a good story. You know, instead of someone just like, I don't know, Bob said Apple Truck and we said, that sounds good. That's a good band name. So that's great. That is fantastic.
Yeah. So that's that every little song is kind of a little different too. So that helps.
Website?
Tinystills.com, baby.
You got it, huh? No one, you didn't have to buy it from anyone?
No.
That's there?
No, it's right there.
And on the website, we can find tour dates.
Yep.
Where to find the album.
Yeah, you can get a physical copy of the album. Actually, that's the only place you can get it. If you want like a vinyl, you can get it and I will ship it. Me and Tony ship it from our place.
Is that media mail or is it first class?
Media mail.
$2.66.
Yeah.
$2.66. I know.
Do I know that number?
Yeah, I've been shipping a lot of stuff lately.
You can write that all off on your taxes though. Yeah. Keep those receipts.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, right. That postage.
Oh, postage.
Yeah, my wife wrote 2 screenwriting books. We mail those out all the time. Same thing. Right off the postage.
The email's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mail is great. Like when people complain about the mail, I'm like, really? This is going to go to Florida for $2.66.
It just goes.
And they're going to have it quicker than they go to take up the 10 days. It's going to be there in 3 days.
Right. It doesn't take that long ever. No.
Because they don't want it. They don't want it. What are they? What do they want to keep it in the building?
Yeah, they want to hang with it.
They want to get it out of here. Right. Just crap out of here.
Right.
So everything at tinystills.com.
Yep. Correct.
I guess there's no... Are you on Instagram?
Yep. Instagram at Tiny Stills. Twitter at Tiny Stills. Website at Tiny Stills. Facebook at Tiny Stills.
We can like you on Facebook.
You can find me on Facebook. God, what else? That's it.
That's good.
That's it.
Tour dates are coming up, so go to tinystills.com to see the tour dates. Tony will also be on the tour, so you can say hi to him.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
If you go to these shows and you've heard Caitlin on Rock Solid, tell her you did so that she knows.
And I'll go, oh, that's awesome.
You go, oh, I hate that show.
And if you know Oprah, put in a
good
word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you step out after the show and meet the people?
Oh, yeah. I do everything.
Do you got a merch table where you go meet?
Yeah, like I run merch. I do everything. So.
And are there t-shirts? Are there Tiny Stills t-shirts?
Yeah, there's shirts and just records right now.
All right, but that's good.
Yeah.
What else do you need? Yeah. You got the music, and then you can wear the
wear it on
your chest.
Put it on your body.
Tony, where are you at on Twitter?
At Tony Thaxton. Same as Instagram, TonyThaxton.com for all nonsense.
And Feliz Navipod is still in existence?
It is. We're taking a little hiatus right now, but we will be back. So
be back before Christmas?
I think that's safe to say.
Thank you both for being here. We are at Rock Solid Show, because Rock Solid Podcast is too long. So we're at Rock Solid Show. I'm at Pat_Francis. Kyle is at Kyle.SinFunny. Do you have Patreon pages or anything you want to support or talk about? Throw out there for the heck of it.
I do have one. It's very nerdy. Patreon.com/TonyThaxton.
Okay.
Also, there's one for Feliz Navipod as well. But my own personal one, as we talked about my love of Star Wars, I write a new Star Wars song every week.
There you go. there is a market for that somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, people can never get enough Star Wars.
Apparently not. And I'm one of those people.
We're at patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. I want to give a shout out to Adam Jones, who did the artwork for this week's episode. I want to give a shout out to Joe Van Overberg, who does the weekly notes for the show, or as we call them, Joey Notes. And thank you both for being here, taking time out of your day, because I know you're rehearsing for this tour. You got a show tonight here in LA.
Yeah, the Hi-Hat. Come on out.
And this album drops tomorrow, June 1st. So please seek it out, listen, and buy it. Don't steal it. Buy it. And what song should we play out with, Kaylin? We have Can You Blame Me, Small Talk, Right All Along, Don't Call Me a Catch.
Let's do Right All Along, because no one else has heard this song yet.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is a Rock Solid exclusive.
Why hasn't anyone heard this? Your mom's heard it.
My mom's heard it and told me she didn't like it. Just kidding. Thank you for having us. This was really great.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for playing live. And Patreon people, you will see Kaylin play live.
Yep.
Everyone else will hear it. It's great both ways. Here we go. Right All Along.
Number, it's the one that I dial when I need to recover. I know it's been years, maybe we could be friends now. For old time's sake, I think I need your help to find myself again. Maybe you will act surprised that I reached out, tried to salvage the bridge we burned down, and I will beg if it's what you need. Toilet from down here.